the weather is a bit brighter and a bit warmer, you might feel safe putting away those hats and mittens and breaking out some of your warmer weather spring wardrobe. Why not welcome spring in your kitchen, too? Deb Perlman joins us for this week's edition of Food Friday. Deb is the creator of the Smitten Kitchen blog. Her most recent cookbook is called Smitten Kitchen Every Day, Triumphant and Unfussy New Favorites. She joins us now to share some springtime cooking inspiration. Deb, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Well, what do you get excited about when it comes to springtime and cooking?
Anything green. And I don't mean like the hearty, long-braised kale of winter, but like anything that's kind of brighter and lighter. All of those foods that were appealing even like 3 weeks ago, even though it's still cold here, and I'm sure it's still cold there.
Oh, yeah.
there's still the threat of snow any day. You never know. The thought of eating the foods that appealed to me a month ago, like this really heavy chicken stew I made or this potato gratin. I can't imagine why I would ever want to eat that now. I need some brighter colors.
Do you start to change your cooking even before the spring ingredients start to really be available?
I do. It's like something switches. I know I'm still cold and I know it's definitely, it may only be spring on the calendar, but I need things that are lighter and brighter. I want more citrus. I want more herby sauces. I want more crunchy finishes. I want, even in the dead of winter, though, like we'll have a couple days that are in the 40s and my chives will pop up. So I want to put chives in everything. As soon as like the snow is off of them, they kind of come back. And it really brightens things up and they taste fresher.
Well, let's look at one of those spring friends that we're going to be watching for here in Wisconsin pretty soon, ramps. Now, you can't find them everywhere, and you've got some substitutions in this recipe we'll get to in a bit. But talk about the ramp and what we do with it.
You know, I feel like the ramp has like lived an entire lifespan in the last 10 years where it was first unheard of and then foodies got super into it and then everybody was going after ramps and then there was the, you know, inevitable blowback where ramps became this like terrible trendy food. But I love them. I don't care. I think they're wild leeks. And I always think of them as halfway between like a scallion and a chive and a kind of full grown leek, but they're I wouldn't be halfway between all of those, but, you know, math, you get it. But they have such a nice brightness to them. They stay really crunchy when you saute them. There's a pizza place by me called Motorino, and they only put it on the menu, you know, about one month a year. But they make a ramp pizza that's really, really, really light. It's a very thin layer of tomato sauce. It's sauteed ramps, and then it's just a very – they don't even do it with cheese all the time, but it's just a very thin amount of pecorino romano and black pepper. And I love it. It's a good spring pizza. It feels much lighter. And I tried to recreate it on my site a couple years ago, and I still make it all the time.
And you've shared that with us. We've got it at WPR.org/Food Friday, that ramp pizza. Now, you mentioned sauteing the ramps, whether we're putting them on pizza or whatever. How do we saute them without just killing that that fresh flavor you were talking about?
So it helps, I think, to think of the bulbs as separate from the greens. What's nice is the greens don't fall apart the way like baby spinach would. They really hold up, but they don't need as much cooking time. But the bulbs are actually like pretty crunchy, and I feel like they stay crunchy even as you saute them. So try to take the pink and the white parts and cut them thin and start them first in the pan. And then you can just add the greens for the last couple minutes. And that way they get evenly cooked. But once you have those sauteed, and if you have ramps, I recommend, unless you have some other plan like grilling or whatever for them, it's nice to just saute up the whole bunch and then put it to things all week. You could mix it into a risotto. You could mix it into an omelet. You could use it with like a nice light spring pasta. But it's really lovely on this pizza too.
Now, suppose this weekend I want to make this ramp pizza, but roadblock, no ramps. What do I do to substitute as best I can for that feel?
That is real life. Either the hipsters ran all the ramps out of town or it's just they're not coming up. I would use a mixture of scallions, maybe one leek. But scallions, leeks, I feel like somewhere in there. And of course, they have different cooking times. Scallions barely need to be cooked and leeks need a bit longer. But I think together you can get that same flavor. You might add maybe a handful of spinach so you can get a little bit more green from it. Because I think a really nice part of the ramp are these sort of slippery greens on top. Slippery is not necessarily.
Yeah, like that's not as appetizing.
I know,
yeah.
Slippery, Deb. No, we don't want that. I guess I mean that they kind of, they saute, they get really, like, they get really nice. They get tender, but they don't get mushy.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. We're talking to Deb Perlman from the Smitten Kitchen. You can check out her blog, and she's the author of Smitten Kitchen Every Day. And she's sharing some springtime cooking inspiration with us. Deb, before we get back to some of the recipes you shared, this is an exciting time of year because at the grocery store, I'm watching the asparagus get closer and closer. It gets cheaper. It's visibly fresher. And I know pretty soon it's going to be growing up around here in Wisconsin. What are your favorite things to do with asparagus?
So my favorite thing to do with asparagus is either to grill or roast or broil it to kind of an oblivion. Okay, that's like the most cooked. But I love to take, you know, just toss it with olive oil, salt and pepper, and really get a nice blister on it. You're not really trying to cook it fully through. You're just trying to get it like under a good blast of heat. And I love finishing it with lemon juice and pepper flakes. So I feel like you can never go wrong with that. But I also really like cutting it thin raw. You can either shave it with a peeler and make ribbons, but you can also do kind of on a bias on the diagonal. You can cut it really thin, like maybe an eighth of an inch thick. And I find that those pieces have a really nice crunch to them, but you can eat them raw. You could toss them into a salad.
Ooh.
And it's really nice if you like you don't even have to turn on the oven or anything else to cook it. It's not like a compromise where you're like, oh, this isn't too bad raw. It's delicious raw. I've done it in salads with chopped eggs and walnuts and a lemony vinaigrette with Dijon, but you can really kind of mix it into any salad you like.
I love that idea because I make asparagus exactly one way and I love it. I just saute it in a cast iron skillet. I get a little black on it, some pepper and salt, and it's awesome and super simple. But raw, I don't know if I've ever run across that.
For years, I only did the ribboning thing because it was so pretty and it looked so cool. But I just started doing the diagonal, just cutting it thin. And I don't mean like paper thin. Like it can be, you know, as I said, it can have a millimeter or two to it. But I feel like it really has just such a nice flavor and it picks up other flavors. So everything that tastes good with asparagus tastes good with this raw. And maybe you do a layer of it, you know, on a sandwich or you, you know, as I said, just mixing it into a salad is really nice.
Now, I've been making soup all winter like I usually do, and it's, you know, soup season isn't really over yet, but it can be nice to find something, like you say, a little less heavy than what we might have been making. Another recipe you shared with us is a Vidalia onion and wild rice soup. Now, what's a Vidalia onion like in particular compared to the other onions?
It's closer to, I feel like I'm going to get in trouble with some people because it's like a very prized variety in parts of the South. But it's very close to, I think, a Spanish onion. And I feel like there's, I want to say it's a Texas sweet. There's a bunch of varieties that are similar to it, but they're kind of larger. They're a little bit mellower. And it's like such a great spring soup because, you know, we all know French onion soup, which is these yellow onions cooked forever in a beef stock. And then you fit it with a, you know, a heavy crouton and then you like just absolutely smother it with Gruyere and it's absolutely delicious. It is not what I'm craving when I'm imagining that spring might arrive soon. So this is a lighter onion soup and you add a little bit of wild rice to it. So it's definitely not traditional. And then instead of the usual Gruyere toast, we actually do blue cheese toast, which I know are not for everyone, but the combination is just, it's a really lovely soup where you get that onion, but you also get some other things going on.
So structurally, it's like French onion soup, but kind of a lighter take on it.
It goes in its own direction after that. But yeah, I mean, I feel like wild rice is a nice, I often associate with like spring and fall cooking. But in the spring, you can really lighten it up because I feel like it has more texture and more interest and more flavor. So when you add it to something, it's not just like this block of white rice filling you up. It's you want it to like have presence. So I think it does in the soup.
We're talking to Deb Perlman, creator of the Smitten Kitchen blog. Her most recent cookbook is Smitten Kitchen Every Day, Triumphant and Unfussy New Favorites. We're talking about springtime cooking, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. When it turns to spring or spring is just around the corner, what do you want to start cooking? And what ingredients are you looking for fresh and local that come along mid to late spring? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page and check out a few of Deb's recipes. We've got them at WPR.org/Food Friday. You can find a lot more on her blog. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation with Deb Perlman. She's the creator of the popular cooking blog Smitten Kitchen. Her latest cookbook is called Smitten Kitchen Every Day, Triumphant and Unfussy New Favorites. We're talking about springtime cooking. You can join in with your favorite foods in the spring. You can email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at @CentralTimeWPR. You can try calling. Looks like we're having some phone line issues, but give it a shot. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Deb, we've got another recipe you shared with us. I like a spring chicken, common phrase, spring chicken salad toasts. What are we doing with the chicken to make these salad toasts with it?
I am so into this recipe, and I always, like, I have this thing where I feel like nobody ever makes it, and that's okay because I love it enough for all of us. And I don't know if it's just because it's not what we usually think of as chicken salad, but basically you could start with rotisserie too, by the way. I feel like this is an unsaid thing, but it's but you start with chicken breast, which is not usually my favorite, and you want to lightly tear it up. And then instead of after you roast it, you want to shred it a little bit, but you want to kind of leave it in, you know, not fine shreds. And instead of doing, you know, normally a chicken salad might have, you know, mayo and I don't know, like, you know, chunky ingredients. This one has, it gets cut with like thin slices of radish, scallions. I put a little bit of celery in, very, very thinly sliced, a little bit of a Persian cucumber. And then instead of using mayo, I use a little bit of creme fraiche or sour cream, just a tiny bit, but it's mostly a vinaigrette with just a little bit of body in it. And I use a mild wine vinegar. You could use a sherry vinegar too. And I put it together and I just – it's got herbs and it's like fresher and you put it on – I like to use those thin rye toasts that you can buy. They usually come in bricks and they're super healthy, I guess. But I just think they're really wonderful because they let the chickens shine. And it's really one of my favorite spring meals. And it's such an easy thing to make with like a chicken breast, but it actually – you stretch it into, you know, a few servings. So it's basically just a lightened up spring chicken salad. And obviously, you know, I know a lot of people hate celery or they hate radishes. I don't know why, but, you know, I mean, you can obviously slip in any other vegetable, such as your asparagus, that you like cut very thinly. But by cutting the chicken with the vegetables and keeping the, you know, it's the dressing very light, it's just such a wonderful – it's a really nice way to eat chicken where it doesn't feel heavy.
It's a recipe for spring chicken salad toast. You can find that at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll go to your calls, which are apparently working now. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let us know your favorite springtime meal. What do you want to start cooking in the spring? 800-642-1234. Dolores is with us in Fond du Lac. Dolores, hi.
Hi. I have two things. One, talk some more about celery. I buy celery, and, you know, that big chunk of celery, by the time I'm eating it, some of it spoils because I live alone. That's one thing. And the other is asparagus. Asparagus is delicious raw. I have a small asparagus patch, and I just walk out there, and when I see a piece of asparagus, I just eat it out there.
Wow, just right out of the ground.
It's not so dirty. It's clean.
Dolores, thanks so much. I'm sorry, what were you saying, Deb?
Oh, it's like it's probably cleaner than the air in New York City for sure. But it's also when you have fresh picked asparagus, there's nothing like it. It's so much more crisp and kind of juicy. Obviously, when it's been cut, as soon as it's cut, it starts getting a little bit more dry, which is why you often see it in grocery stores and even farmers markets stuck in a little bit of water to kind of keep it bright. But I love celery, and I've never had that. I know it's a very unpopular ingredient. I would have a lot more celery recipes if people didn't yell at me every time I did stuff with it. But I love it shaved raw. I love it in salads with walnuts and maybe like a little bit of cheese, like a nice Italian cheese. I'm thinking or a crumbled cheese. I love celery in my chicken salads. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it in egg salads. I generally just really like it raw. And I actually just had with my lunch today, I had this wonderful, it was like a leafy pink, kind of like endive, and it had very thin shavings of celery in it that almost tasted lightly pickled. And it had some apples and walnuts and a little bit of blue cheese. And I was in absolute heaven. Like, it was, to me, this is the perfect thing.
Yeah, I like
celery. So I would never have trouble using it up.
I like celery fine, Deb, but yeah, I'm in an anti-celery household, so I end up never cooking with it. But soups, back when I was just on my own devices, I loved celery as part of my starter for the soup.
Is it the stringiness that people hate?
It's the taste. It's the texture. They don't want anything to do with it. I'm sorry.
Okay, I was like,
I'm sorry.
Because I find when you cut it thinly, you know, against the grain, you don't really – there's no stringiness. You can also peel it, which is kind of wild. But you can actually just peel the celery if it's the stringiness. But they don't like the taste.
Yeah.
I also feel like it's one of these things that it goes really well with a good vinaigrette. Like, it goes really well, like a, or like not too heavy, but like a good lemony olive oil type thing, salt and pepper, where you don't only taste the bitterness, it makes the bitterness taste sweeter to me. But, you know, it's okay. I'll just be, you know, on pro celery island population, like 1.5 people.
Hey,
perhaps.
More for you. More for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Dolores, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Rosie in Lake Tomahawk. Rosie, hello. What do you want to tell us about, Rosie?
Well, we live in northern Wisconsin, so I'm not sure that fresh peas qualify as a spring food. But if we work hard at it, we can get a nice crop by June. And my favorite dish is to take them and shuck them when they're nice and full, but not overdone. And then I make a delicious roux. I take a couple tablespoons of butter and let it brown a little bit. Then I add some flour to make it nice and thick. And I add, maybe a little touch of chicken broth and then milk. And season it with salt and pepper, and then actually put the raw peas right in there when it seems to be the right consistency, and just let them simmer for a little while. It is absolutely incredible.
That sounds fantastic, Rosie.
That sounded really good.
Yeah, speaking of eating things right out of the ground, I do remember eating fresh peas right out of my grandparents' either small field or large garden. I was never clear on which it was. But yeah, that is, fresh peas are fantastic. That's a little ways off, but Deb, what are some of your favorite ways to use fresh peas?
So I did not, in the same way that most people are thinking I'm crazy when I talk about celery, I did not grow up with the love of peas. I didn't really, you know, I'd only had them cooked and frozen, and they just tasted very one note to me. But when I started getting them fresh, and they're so easy to shuck, and they're really fun to shuck too, they come right out on like favas and other things that are more difficult. So when I started having them fresh, I really loved just like cooking them or steaming them for just a minute so they're still a little crunchy, but have that a little bit of tenderness. And I've actually crushed them before, lightly crushed them, keeping some intact and some a little more broken down, and done it with a light lemon tahini dressing. And then we ate it on, like, pitas.
Oh, yeah, I've had at restaurants, like, Portuguese style, there's, like, this smooshed up fresh pea mushy salad thing with some similar flavors to that. That was really good. I've got to find a recipe for that.
It's really good, too. Yeah, I feel like most of us... Well, too many of us don't have the luxury of having them fresh because I feel like they're really a different animal. Although they're a vegetable that actually freezes pretty well, there's nothing tastes the same as like when they're fresh out of the ground. So there's really nothing else like that. And when they do come fresh out of the ground, I almost don't want to do that much with them because they're, for us, they're like so rare and special.
Rosie, thanks a lot for the call. We're talking to Deb Perlman. She blogs at The Smitten Kitchen. She's got a cookbook called The Smitten Kitchen Every Day. Triumphant and unfussy new favorites. Back to your calls now. Jan is with us in Madison as we talk about springtime cooking. Jan, hi.
Hi there. You were talking about celery and how people don't like it. Well, I love celery. And
you can come to my island.
Okay. I'd love to. My sister gave me a great recipe. She served it to me one day, and I have never forgotten it. You take an avocado, which is really big in the stores right now. They're lower in prices and all that. Take an avocado, cut it in half, take the pit out, and slice, very thinly slice celery on top of the avocado. You can actually score the avocado first so that it's easier to get out with a spoon. Put a couple of shreds of Parmesan cheese on top and a little dab of Italian dressing.
Oh, that
and that, to me, it is. It is so refreshing. It's so good, and it's filling, and it's got all those good ingredients and a whole lot of good flavor. And just pair that with either a slice of bread or a small pizza or even a little cup of broth or something, and you've got a really, really good meal.
And Jen, I wanted to ask, you're eating that right out of the half of the avocado peel?
Yep.
Nice.
You can do it either way. I have taken the avocado out of the shell and done it on a side plate that way, or you can do it right in the shell.
Jan, thanks a lot for the call. And Deb, avocado for me sounds like a real springy thing, even though we don't really grow our own here in Wisconsin, or I'm guessing New York either. But
not,
but
it,
that does
not so
sound
much.
Springy to me.
I agree. It goes really well with spring because it gives you a little bit of that richness without the heavy creaminess of, you know, wintry vegetables. I actually do a similar thing. I haven't done it with celery before. Now I have to, but it's actually an avocado and cucumber salad, and it's with a little bit of lime juice and then just the smallest dab of mayo and a little bit of sriracha in there. And I got this idea from Julia Tertian, and it became this like addiction in my family where it's like one part cubed avocado and one part cucumber, and you just kind of wonder why you ever how you ever didn't know that this was so good together. And we couldn't get enough of it for a long time. And it's just so, yeah, it gives you that richness without the heaviness, which I feel like is really good for this not quite spring cooking where you crave the flavors.
Thanks a lot for that call. As we wrap up, Deb, you've been at this blog since 2006. You've got, by my count, about a zillion recipes up there. When you hit a new season like this, are you always coming up with new stuff, or do you go back to the archives and find like, oh yeah, I made that 5 years ago. I got to revisit that.
I do a little bit of both, and it's really about my mood. I have some weeks where I'm just like dying to cook new things, and I have so many recipes I haven't gotten to. I am so far from done with ideas. And then there are other times where I really kind of miss something like that I put on the site 10 years ago, and I make it again. I'm like, my God, that is so complicated, because I'm a much more confident cook now, and I feel like I know a lot more shortcuts, and I know what's worth my time and what's not, when back then I was a little more of a nervous beginning cook. So it's kind of fun to sometimes give things a revisit and figure out ways that you can make it more like applicable to your Monday night routine. So a little bit of both, and it's really just about my mood.
Deb, thanks for joining us again. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me on.
That's Deb Perlman, creator of the cooking blog Smitten Kitchen and author of Smitten Kitchen Every Day, Triumphant and Unfussy New Favorites. She joined us with some springtime cooking inspiration. We've got a few of her recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday.